Hello, and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and before I get started, I wanted to let you know that you'll be hearing a bunch of song clips, but no full songs, which can be frustrating. But if you want to hear a song all the way through, all you have to do is head over to the page for this episode on the KTX website. There you'll find a Spotify playlist where we'll have all the songs mentioned during this interview. We've got you covered. In this episode of This Song, we're going to be talking to Tomar Williams and Paul Kresiewicz of the Austin band Tomar and the FCs. Tomar is the lead singer and songwriter, and Paul is the drummer. And the band has a new record called Heart Attack. It came out late last year, and it's great. They play soul music that sounds rooted yet current and makes you want to dance for real. They're our Artist of the Month here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast. And as part of their Artist of the Month festivities, Tomar and Paul came into KUTX and told me about songs that started them on the road to making the music that they make. So here they are, Tomar and the FCs, or I guess I should say Tomar and the FC, singular? I don't know. Anyway, here are Tomar and Paul.
You know, there are so many songs, and but I can honestly say there was this one song. Growing up, my sister, my second to the oldest sister, she was in high school when I was in elementary, and she was a singer and performer, and she used to do all these pageants. And this one day, she was in the living room, and I was there listening to this record. It's called Ben by Michael Jackson. It's about a rat.
Ben, the two of us need live no more. We both found what we were looking for.
I was in there listening to this record, and because I had saw the movie, you know, prior, and it just intrigued me, man. And so I started singing along with the record, and my sister, she walks into the living room, and she was like, whoa, and she turned the record off. She said, now go ahead, start all over again. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, did I mess up? I know this is your record player. I said, no. So she had me start over, and I started singing it again, and she taught me how to sing. And she realized that I actually had something, and I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, but I was having fun just doing Michael Jackson. So Ben, you know, a rat, Michael Jackson, I'm going to tell you, man, you changed my life, because I probably would have been like, you know, I don't know, skydiving for a little, I don't know, man.
Wait, is it a rat or a mouse?
It's a rat. It was a
Ben
rat.
Ben is a rat?
Ben is a rat that lived in the subway transit. And it was like a real, it wasn't an animation. It was a real movie, man. And this little kid and that rat became best friends. And they knew each other.
Does a rat talk?
You know, they talk a certain language between them two that we don't even understand to this day, you know? And it was intriguing, like, man, how can you communicate with a rat in the subway? Because, you know, in New York, those rats are not, they're not, you know.
They're cat size.
They're cat size.
Yeah.
So it would have scared the crap out of me.
Well, going back to the song, Ben, not the movie, Ben, which I guess I've never seen the movie, so I just assumed it was about a mouse, but it's about a rat.
It's about a rat.
Well, I mean, you said you didn't really know what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
But did you?
No, I did not.
Was there a, did you feel like an enjoyment from singing from that early? Like from that time on, was it like, were you just singing?
You know what? Actually, I did not really start back singing until I was about 11 years old. And my dad went to a pawn shop and bought a bunch of instruments, and I have three other brothers, and we're all close in age, and we just started just, you know, hitting every little instrument in the garage. And I wound up, I think, strapping the guitar around me, and I was the drummer first, but then he was like, son, you're the singer, you can't play drums and sing. And your pops, he was like, you know, not Joe Jackson, he was the nice Joe Jackson, y'all.
Okay. I was starting to say, yeah, it's a Jackson 5.
Jackson, yeah.
The Williams 3.
The Williams 4, actually.
4.
Yeah, it was 4 of us, you know, 4 knuckleheads. And the cool thing is that I worked it out, and my very first song that I wrote, and I'm going to say this here, In Excess, I think you ripped me off. I wrote this song back in 1980, and the title is called You're Never Satisfied. And, you know, I'm 11 years old. What the hell I'm singing about a song, You're Never Satisfied, you know? Yeah. You know, it was a relationship song. And there's a riff that I was playing bass and singing lead on this song. And the little riff on the bass is doom, 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 doom. You never satisfy what I do for you. And years later, back in what, 1985, 86, 87 actually, when, yeah, that song hit big, my mom freaked out because You Never Satisfy, that's my baby, that's his song. So when she heard it on the radio, she thought that they ripped me off. And I started to think so too. I said, hold on, man, I need to call these guys. Get my check in the mailbox, you know?
So you've been playing music for real since you were like 11?
Yeah.
And writing songs?
Yeah, writing songs. You know,
writing, like,
attempting
good,
to write songs, yeah.
Good catchy songs that somehow end up on the radio done by bands.
We didn't know what we were doing. We were just in the garage having fun, man, you know. So we knew if we throw a few bowls of spaghetti against the wall, something's going to stick, you know. So
yeah.
Apparently.
And you've been making music, like, since you were 11, right? You've done,
yeah,
a lot of production.
Mm-hmm.
And is Tomar and the FCs, is it the first time that you've, since the Williams 4, that you fronted the band?
You know what? That my brothers and I, we did have a band called 6 AM. And we were doing really well in the 90s and stuff. We were writing songs and recording albums. We had a potential deal with RCA Records, and it fell through at the last second. But fast forward to where we are now, I laid off and just started doing a lot of production, hip-hop production with my brothers. And we formulated a production team called Carnival Beats, which produced a lot of records that came out of Houston, like Mike Jones, Steel Tippin. Steel Tippin on four foes, rappin' 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 four foes, and no packin', and no packin', four flowin' on. Back then, back then, hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Paul Wall, City Sideways. Empire Wild, baby, it's the people's champ. I'm something like a bowler, the candy paint drippin' out for the old school Impala. I'm with the Big Mo. I mean, it was so many records that came out of Houston that we actually were, you know, spearheading. And so it was great. It was great. I mean, I love hip hop because I always say my generation, we invented hip hop, you know. Then I was playing with, you know, Latasha Lee and the Black Ties. I was the keyboard player, MD, and backup singer. And I did that for 2 years. Watch me now. But, you know, basically where we are now, my wife, she was like, you know, I really would love to see you get back, you know, front and center and just hit those vocals again and just do you, you know. And I met Nicholas, the horn player, from, I guess he used to connect with Paul on some projects. And he was connected with us as well with Latasha Lee and the Black Ties. And he kept saying, man, I got a group of cats, man. They're looking for a singer, man. And you got to come by, man. Just hang out. I was like, yeah, just one rehearsal, Tomar. If you don't like it, you can just back out. I'm like, all right. So went to rehearsal and went to the music lab. And we hit the first tune. And I think Paul said it earlier. He's like, man, I think we got something. And I was freaking out because these cats, man, Paul, Mitch, David, you know, Andy, I mean, these guys, Nicholas, these guys were sick with it. I mean, like, the rhythm section was killing. And I was like, man, if we start writing songs together, and I said this when I went home later that night, I was like, this is going to be epic, you know? So I knew it was something that we, you know, had to do.
So just like your sister hearing you, when you heard the band, the you band. Were like, this is it.
This
I
is
think
it.
This is something.
It's
yeah.
hard to find that in Austin.
Yeah.
It's hard to find.
It's hard to find that in life, like people that you can connect with creatively
oh, yeah.
and make
I play
something.
With so many cats here in the city, and to connect on a original level, it's you know, a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, hey, I'm glad your sister knew what was up. You
yeah,
know?
Me yeah. too.
So what about you, Paul? What about you? I mean, can you tell me about a song that
absolutely.
Kind of did the same
so,
thing?
So I'm going to do this in a little bit of a meandering way, so I apologize.
Okay.
So the song that's equivalent to Tomar, which I'm not going to pick. So I'm going to do two, and then I'll do the one that I'll pick. But I remember I heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Under the Bridge. My oldest brother had that on CD. I'm a little bit younger than Tomar is. But I remember that was the first song that really hit me. And so that caught me. But I was a jazz nerd when I was... younger. My best friend is a wonderful keyboard player, and Andrew Page, who now lives in Taiwan, but he was a jazz kid and a classical musician as well. His dad's an amazing piano player, so he grew up legit music, you know, practicing a couple hours a day, learning all kinds of stuff. And so he was learning to play jazz, and I was really into rock, alternative rock in the 90s, you know, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins. And he one day... We got some Taco Bell. Sorry that happened. But his dad had a really amazing record collection and amazing speakers. And went back to his house and he had black lights. And he put on Kinda Blue, the Miles Davis record. At this point, I hated jazz because I was a rock guy. So I was like, jazz, it's But it just hit me in that moment. And so I became a huge jazz nerd. Did that for many years and still love jazz. But I joined a soul band called the Diplomats of Solid Sound. Their wonderful drummer, Jim Viner, didn't want to tour anymore. And so I started learning about soul music. And it took a minute for it to really make sense to me. But I think... there's a song, Soul Man by Sam and Dave. And Al Jackson Jr. plays on that record. And he's a drummer that played on a lot of the Stax stuff. And he has this pocket that's just, brings everyone together, and it's interesting, and it's got this groove, and it spoke to me.
So what about soul music kind of didn't make sense before you heard it?
In jazz, you know, it's a lot of interaction. You can do that to an extent in soul music, but it's more about the groove. And it's not that soul music didn't make sense to me. I always was drawn to it. It's just as far as actually playing it, I had to cut out some of the nonsense that I would play, you know. And instead of really thinking about the interaction point, which is a beautiful thing about jazz, just playing towards the song and doing, not calling attention to myself, and just making sure the groove was really solid and I was playing just what the song needed. Al Jackson, just anything he played on, I mean, he's a master.
I don't wanna lose this married to a drummer, but not everyone is married to a drummer. So, and I think that the idea of a pocket or like playing in a pocket is, it's not actually something that a lot of people maybe understand. So maybe for people out there who aren't drummers or aren't married to drummers, like, could you kind of explain this idea of what that is?
Absolutely. I can try. So the way I would describe it, I think we've all had the experience of listening to a band or listening to a record where our foot will start tapping or we'll start moving or dancing and we're drawn to this magnetism of a groove being together. It just speaks to us. And musician lingo, that would mean that the song has a good pocket, as in if you think of a pocket, things can fit in there. It's got a nice, you know, you can put your cell phone in there, your wallet. And as a musician, if the drummer's got a good pocket, you don't have to be worried about where to put things. You know, if you've got no pocket and you've got your cell phone, you're like, oh man, where am I going to put this? Or if you're a singer and you're singing, you know, a chorus or something, if you've got to be worried about where that's going to fit, it makes you nervous. But if you've got that pocket in there, you're comfortable, everything's where it's supposed to be, and you can just do your thing and not have to worry about it.
I think a pocket, you were talking about interaction in jazz, and I think that a pocket creates connection.
Yeah.
It does.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like you're actually all connected through rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you very much. All right. Maybe I just wanted to say what I thought of pocket.
No.
So hearing the Sam and Dave song, it's like you heard, it's like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Like, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because soul music is really about getting people to dance, right?
Absolutely.
Miss Walker can't hold water. If it's only a matter of time for you tripped on your own line. Oh, baby, you got to change. I'm not that type of man. To this point, I've been so chill.
And this is Heart Attack from Tomar and the FC's record of the same name. And like, man, I'm struck by those stories, especially the way that Tomar and Paul had these like two really distinct trajectories that ended up just kind of randomly intersecting. Like, there's Tomar as a kid singing Bin, which leads to him being in a band with his brothers, which leads to starting an iconic Houston hip-hop production team with his brothers, which leads him to producing Latasha Lee and being in her band, which leads him to Paul. And then there's Paul, who, like, gets into music through rock, falls deeply in love with music through jazz, and then starts to understand groove with soul music, and then finds a partner in making music with Tomar. Is it fate? Is it random happenstance? Like, who knows? Whatever it is, it's beautiful. I'll post a link to Tomar and the FC's Artist of the Month page on the KUTX website so that you can find out more about the band. Like, there you'll be able to find the audio of their Studio 1A show. Like, Studio 1A is our awesome live performance space here at KUTX, and you'll be able to see a Viewhouse video from that set of their song, Do You Feel It? And just so you know, like, while you're at KUTX.org, like, every month we focus on a different Austin artist, and we do an in-studio and a My KUTX and Song of the Day. And like, really, if you want to get a feel for what Austin music has to offer, you should totally check out the Tomar and the FC's Artist of the Month, but also like our Artist of the Month archives, for real. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account and does an awesome job, and Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb for all they do for this podcast, and it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongkutx. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. And if you're subscribing to This Song, well, we'd really love it if you left a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.